Well, good morning and blessed Easter. It's a great day in the Christian calendar, and it's a wonderful reminder of what faith is all about, what Christianity is all about. It's a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this great day of victory, that we can remember all that you've done for us. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed, and we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder if you ever thought of what Jesus did while he was in the grave. I know today is Resurrection Sunday, but a lot of what we're thinking of today is tied up to that as well. Each of the Gospels records the account of what happened after the death of Jesus, and I want to read the account in Matthew and then the one in Luke as well. It says, going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, that's Joseph of Arimathea. Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in clean cloth, placed it in his own tomb that had been cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary who was sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. Sir, they said, we remember that while he was still alive, the deceiver said, after 3 days I will rise again. So give the order for the tomb to be secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has risen from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first. Take a guard, Pilate said. Go to the tomb as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting a guard. And then the passage in Luke says this. Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, who was good and upright, who had not consented their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. When he took it down, he wrapped it in linen cloth and placed it in the tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The woman who had come from Jesus with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes. Then they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the command. Well, the time between the death and the resurrection of Jesus has been called many different names by the traditional church. The most well-known is Holy Saturday. It's also been called the Great and Holy Saturday, the Great Sabbath, Hallelujah Saturday, Saturday of the Gloria, and Black Sabbath Saturday, or Easter Eve. Amongst Coptic Christians, those who come from Egypt, they called it Joyous Saturday, or the Saturday of Light. According to Roman Catholic tradition, Jesus went into hell on this particular day. The Hebrew word for hell is Sheol, and the Greek word is Hades. And according to Roman Catholic tradition, this is the place where all the dead go. Those who are there are deprived of the vision of God. They say that while in hell, Jesus preached the gospel to those who lived before he came to earth and led them from hell into heaven, or into Abraham's bosom, as sometimes they call it. The most prominent support for this idea is not so much biblical support, although there are two verses, one in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 19, and Ephesians chapter 4 verses 8 and 9, which allude to this issue, and we're going to address them a little bit later on. But the most prominent reason probably is the a line out of the Apostles' Creed, a creed which the church in general has used over the years to kind of establish what the faith is all about. And the Apostles' Creed says this: I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. And then this line: he descended to hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead and ascended to heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come and judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now let me say, many Protestants have long called for the removal of that particular line, which said he descended to hell, and I'm going to try and explain to you a little bit why later on. So then, what did Jesus do while he was in the grave? What did he do on Friday evening and Saturday and onto Sunday morning? Well, first of all, as I try and answer that question, let me say, he was not in the grave. He was in heaven. So that's a simple answer. He wasn't in the grave, friends. How do we know that? Well, listen to the account of the incident between Jesus and the two thieves on either side of Jesus. It says in Luke 23, there was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him, "Don't you fear God?" He said, "And since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come to your kingdom." And what did Jesus answer? He said simply this: "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." Friends, where was Jesus? What was he doing when he was in the grave? Well, he wasn't in the grave. He was in heaven. Friends, how else do we know this? Of course, Jesus had just said it. We know this because at the death of Jesus, the power of the resurrection was already on display. Look at Matthew's account of the death of Jesus. In Matthew 27, verse 50, it says this: "And when Jesus cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split." Now, most often we just stop there. But verse 52 says, "The tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people." Friends, the power of the resurrection was already on display on earth. Jesus would display it a few days later. But friends, it was already happened. Jesus was already resurrected. He hadn't showed himself as that yet. He was to do that 3 days later. Well, secondly, what did Jesus do in the grave? Well, if he was in heaven, then he did not go into hell. What did he do? Well, in my understanding, he went past hell to declare victory over those in hell. One of the passages of scripture that's often used to teach that Jesus went into hell was in Ephesians chapter 4, Well, Ephesians chapter 4, verse, particularly verse 9 is the one, but Ephesians chapter 4 says this: as a prisoner of the Lord Jesus, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bonds of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father over all, who is over all and through all and in all. And to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, he ascended on high, he left captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascend mean? Except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions, for he descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So why should we not use this verse? Makes it very clear. He descended to the lower earthly regions. Well, many who say Jesus went down to hell quote that particular verse. Friends, simply for this, we shouldn't use this verse because the context. Verse 2 gives us the context. The context of this passage, friends, is humility. Humility in the church. Paul is saying, be completely humble and gentle. And what did he do in Philippians chapter 2? Well, one of the greatest examples of humility spoken of in Philippians chapter 2 is that Jesus humbled himself when he came to earth, friends, through his incarnation. And so what Paul is saying about this passage has got nothing about Jesus going down into hell. It's about when Jesus came to earth and showed us his humility when he was on earth. Paul is saying, friends, that our humility should be exercised to the same extent as Christ's humility when he comes to earth, when he came to earth. So, friends, that verse is not relevant in teaching about going to hell. Well, the other verse is the one in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3, it says this, for Christ died for sins once and for all, verse 18. The righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body and made alive in the spirit, through whom he also went to preach to the spirits in prison, who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it only a few people, eight of them in all, were saved through water. And that water symbolizes baptism, which now saves you also. Not the removal of the dirt from the body, but a pledge of a good conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven, is at the right hand of the Father, with angels and authorities and powers in submission to him. Well, the big question that flows from verse 19, where it says, through whom he also went to preach to the Spirit, is, first of all, when did Jesus go and preach to the spirits in prison? And secondly, what about all the other people other than Noah who were born before Jesus was born? So, friends, it's a confusing passage. But if you read it a little more clearly, verse 19 says he was put to death in the body and made alive in the spirit. In some ways, there should be a full stop. Because verse 19 should say, through whom he also went and preached to the spirits in prison. What is really that passage is really saying to us, through the spirit, Jesus spoke through Noah to those who lived at that point in time. Through God's Spirit, he empowered Noah to preach and to teach about Jesus. So that's the key. It wasn't that Jesus went down to prison. There's another indicator. The word that says Jesus went down to prison is not the same word that speaks about Hades. The word that is most often used to describe hell is the word Hades or Sheol in the Old Testament. The Greek word used here is of a prison, an actual prison with bars in front of it. And then the third thing that makes us realize this isn't about Jesus going to hell is when it says, and he preached. Friend, the word preached is more proclaim. Whenever the gospel is spoken on, most often it's the word eulogeo. Jesus preached the gospel message. He eulogized, he spoke about evangelio, the evangelism. But in this case, it was preach. So friend, both those passages, the one in Hebrew, Ephesians and the one in 1 Peter, don't really talk about Jesus going to hell to preach to them. There's no truth in the rest of Scripture about that. So what did Jesus do? What did he do when he was in hell, in the grave? Well, for me, the clue lies in the Luke passage. It says this, then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the command. You see, while we call Saturday, for Jesus it was his Sabbath. It was his day of rest. The Sabbath, friends, began on the Friday at 6 o'clock and went through to the next day. When the nation of Israel entered into the promised land and after they had conquered it all, it told us they entered their rest. In Hebrews chapter 4, we're going to look at this whole subject of the people of God who entered their rest. What did Jesus do as he was in the tomb? Well, as God rested after creation, wasn't that he was tired? It wasn't that he didn't have energy. Wasn't that he needed to have a sleep? No, friends. It was after he said, it is finished. After creation, God said, it is finished and it is good. And it was complete. And therefore, what did Jesus do? He rested. He rested in the knowledge that salvation was complete and nothing more needed to happen other than proving it through the resurrection. So why should we still consider this day, the time between the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ? I want to give you three reasons. Why is that important for us? First of all, death without resurrection is a profound expression of hopelessness. Just think of the disciples. After Jesus died, they were scattered. After Jesus died, they were debating in the upper room, should we go back to fishing? Friends, all of their hopes and all of their wishes and all of their desires were dashed with Christ on the cross, with him breathing his last yet before the resurrection. It is the most hopeless picture we find in the scriptures. They had not experienced the resurrection, but they had experienced the death. death, friends, without resurrection is hopelessness. And we must remember that. People who die without the resurrection, friends, are the most hopeless of all. Second reason why we should consider this day. Even after Jesus declared, "It is finished, it's complete, it's done," Satan still tried to keep him in the tomb. The Jewish officials put a seal on the tomb. They put a guard outside the tomb. Who was really behind that? Friend, Satan thought he could still keep Jesus in the tomb. Friends, Jesus cannot be kept in the tomb. Satan has lost once and for all. Let's never forget that. That's what we're reminded of. In spite of all their efforts to keep Jesus in the tomb, they could not. And then thirdly, why should we remember it? Because, friends, the death of Jesus forces us to display our true allegiance. Up until this point in time, two of the Jewish officials, this man called Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, who's part of the John account of this passage, were hidden disciples. They didn't want others to know that they kind of secretly supported Jesus. Yet there comes this time. At the death of Jesus, Joseph of Arimathea offers his tomb and Nicodemus offers 70 pounds of spices for Jesus to be wrapped up in. Friends, the death of Christ forces us to choose our allegiance. Well, friends, while Jesus is in the tomb, he finally declared victory. For the tomb could not contain him. The tomb, friends, he was never there in the first place. It was just the elements he used while on earth. He was in heaven. The victory had been complete. For our sake, and for the sake of obedience, for the sake of the final fulfillment of prophecy, Jesus rose again on the third day. In the same way that when we die, the scriptures tell us on the last day it'll appear as if we're resurrected. But friends, we're resurrected the moment we die. We're in the presence of Jesus, just like Jesus was, in the presence of his Father. So what did Jesus do while his body lay in the grave? Friends, he began his reign. He began because the new creation had happened. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you were not entombed. There were some elements there, some chemicals there, but Lord, you were not there. For you had finished the job, and you displayed for us through the resurrection the ultimate victory. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Amen. Well, go, friends, in confidence this resurrection day. And remember, Jesus conquered death the minute he said, "It is finished." Lord bless you.